Tell me your story, new paradigms for a new world. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We come your way on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We do podcast the programs at the radio show's page of richarddugan.com, as well as SoundCloud and iTunes. We are on Facebook. There is a page. It's Richard Dugan, T-M-Y-S. That stands for Tell Me Your Story, Richard Dugan, T-M-Y-S. We're also on Twitter. And we encourage you also to go to our guests' website. We have a link on the radio show's page where the play button is for that particular interview. And you can go to their website and continue following this interview, or, hey, even during the interview for that matter, so that you can glean more information and continue your process of growth and expansion as we are trying to do here. And also another reminder that these interviews are not just the 50 minutes that you hear on the radio. Sometimes they go longer, a lot longer. It's all depending upon the availability of our guest. And our guest today is Karen Noe. She's the author of We Consciousness, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace. I would just take peace in general, Karen, in general. I don't care. Just give me peace and give it to me now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on.
I know that everybody is looking for peace, but the outside world is making it really, really hard. And you can, whether you want to talk about natural disasters, whether you want to talk about education, politics, religion, social media, you can go, the list is endless. My first and best suggestion, of course, this codifies it down into one, disconnect from the rest of the world if you can. But well, unfortunately, that's not how we live. This is rather interesting stuff that you're talking about. So let's start from this perspective. We collectively, consciousness. Explain the title.
Okay, it's quite a long story, so I'll make it brief, but
we got plenty of time.
The We Consciousness, it's an awareness of the unity of everyone and everything, and that includes animals and nature. It's an awareness of our divinity, compassion for all of life, and what a person does to oneself or another, how it affects the whole. And then, if you could fully grasp these important truths, you'll be able to create miracles in your life and in the lives around you. But I got these truths from a group of guides, a group consciousness called the We Guides. And one of those, the guides included in that group is Wayne Dyer.
And he has, of course, been gone for about, a year or two, maybe more?
A couple of years now, yes.
I actually took a shot at getting an interview with him, and unfortunately, I missed the deadline.
No. Really?
Yeah, I actually did. I wanted to have him on the program, and unfortunately, for whatever reasons, was unable to secure the interview. But nonetheless, I have a number of his CD sets, teachings and so forth, that I have to transfer to my phone so I can listen to them. But I also grew up listening to him in the 70s on radio in Phoenix. He was a regular guest on the Pat McMahon program that was a morning program from 9 to noon. And he was pretty much a regular guest on that. And I listened in the 70s and the 80s. I seem to recall the one book, it was an early one of his anyway, since you mentioned him, what was it? Our
erroneous zones?
Erroneous zones. Thank you. I know it wasn't I knew it wasn't erogenous.
Yeah.
Erroneous zones was one of his early books, and and of course, you know, and I guess Pat and he were very good friends as well. But he has been an influence in the lives of countless people. As a matter of fact, I didn't get a chance to interview him, but back in 98, I believe it was, he was in Phoenix and he was holding a lecture. And my present wife and I actually got a chance to go and hear him lecture. So I did get to at least be in his presence in that sense. So I do have that connection. But I'm curious, I have associated with a set of, I'll call them entities, that call themselves Equinox. And on on a monthly basis, my wife and I would go to this woman's house where, you know, you'd pay a small little stipend, you know, just to be there and ask a couple of questions. But first, they would present a particular topic for conversation. And then after that, you'd introduce yourself. And yes, my name is blah, blah, blah. And I have a question. Or some people just say, what message do they have for me today? Or sometimes a lot more specific. A lot of times, before you even had a chance to ask a question, they would offer information. So I'm curious, was this more of a question-answer, or did you tap in whenever the feeling struck weak consciousness guides, and you had to take notes? So how did that conversation go?
Let me tell you the story behind this whole thing. So I was a fan of Dr. Wayne Dyer's. I was not a friend of his or a family member or any of that. And after he passed, I was very upset. I thought the world wasn't going to be the same. I did have his daughter, Serena, on my radio show. I have a radio show called The Angel Quest Show, the first Saturday of every month. And she was on my radio show about a month prior to his passing to promote her book, Don't Die With the Music Still in You. It's a very good book. Mm-hmm. But in any case, I had her contact information, and I didn't know how I could possibly help. But I said, you know, I am a psychic medium. I have a waiting list of 2 years down the line, and I'm currently not even taking new clients because I don't know where to put them, you know, and things like that. So after all the years of me doing readings, I learned quite a number of things about the afterlife and how to heal the living loved ones from all the appointments that I had done. So I emailed Serena and I said, Serena, you know, this is Karen Noe. You were on my radio show. I'm so sorry to hear about your dad. Make sure to ask him to give you a without a doubt sign to let you know without a doubt that he's around you. Ask him to come to you in a dream and to wake you up after the dream so that you remember it. And I wrote a book called Your Life After Their Death, A Medium's Guide to Healing After a Loss with Hay House. And I'd love to send you a copy of the book. It's, you know, everything that I've learned all these years of doing readings and connecting with those who've passed. I think it would help you. If you'd like it, I would
absolutely love it. I have to say that transitioning or death and dying, however you want to phrase it, is a subject that I love to pursue because of my curiosity about it. Yes. When I hear of especially infamous or famous people who pass, mm-hmm. One of my first thoughts usually is, I wonder what their experience, what are they going through? What's happening to them now? I would love to go there, experience that, but I want to come back. I'm not ready to go, okay? I'm not done. Not by a long shot.
So what I was doing is I emailed that to Serena, and she said she would like a copy of the book. So I sent her a copy of the book. Mm. And then a month later, I was scheduled to speak in Orlando, Florida. I was going to speak about life after death. And a day before, they were holding a tribute for Dr. Wayne Dyer. So I went to that. Now, there was a bus with the Hay House authors going from the hotel to the conference center to speak, you know, to go to the tribute. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting on the bus, and there's one seat available, and it happens to be next to me. And in walks Serena Dyer, his daughter. Mm. So she walked in, sat next to me, and I said, Serena, I'm so sorry about your dad, you know. And my name's Karen Noe, and she said, Karen, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I got the copy of your book. I'm going to read it. And she started to ask me some questions. And I said, you know, did you get any signs from your dad yet? Because I know he was loud in life. He'll be even louder now that he made his transition. And she said, well, her sister had a profound dream in which, you know, she was dreaming of Wayne, and she actually hugged him. And these are her words. She felt his hairy arms. So I said, it sounds like a true visitation to me. You know, it truly is. And, you know, we just were talking. That was pretty much it. So we went to the conference. And then after the conference, when I got out of the conference, I didn't want to go back on that bus because something within me, I just felt insignificant. I felt I shouldn't be here on the bus with the Dyer family. I'm not good enough, you know, and I shouldn't be here on the bus with my favorite Hay House authors, even though I'm a Hay House author, you know?
Yeah.
So I decided to walk to the hotel room, and I'm saying this to myself. I'm saying, I'm insignificant. I'm so insignificant. And as I was saying that is when I heard him for the first time. And he screamed. I mean, not screamed, but his voice was loud. And he said, get out of your own way. And he said, get out of your own way. And I said, my eyes bugged out of my face. And I said, is that you? If it's you, Wayne, you have to give me a without a doubt sign so I know it's truly you. So I continued to walk to the hotel room. And as I'm walking, I said, how may I serve? And he said, you're already serving. And then I said, how may I serve more? So I went into the hotel room and I felt something itchy inside of my shirt. I reached in to grab to see what it was in my shirt, and it was a sticker that somehow had adhered to the inside of my shirt. And how I know it was not there before was that in small letters under the sticker, it said Disney World.
Oh, wow.
I had not been to Disney World before that. So I looked at the sticker, and on the sticker were in huge letters, W-E. Now, I thought that meant Wayne, first letter, last letter, because oftentimes when I receive messages from deceased loved ones, they give me their name or they say first letter, last letter, like that. And then I felt him laugh and he said, is that good enough? I said, yeah, that's pretty good. It's great. Thank you so much. And I still felt insignificant and all of that. Long story short, I went home, and about a week later, Sage Dyer, one of his other daughters, contacted me and said, she's the one that had the dream about her dad. And she contacted me via Facebook, and she told me the dream, and I told her again that it truly is a true visitation from her dad because she felt him and all of that. And we were going back and forth, and eventually he started to give her messages. And finally, he said, to call her up on the phone because this was via the internet. So I called her and he gave her some messages. And then eventually, I said, Sage, this is, we were on the phone quite a while. I said, would you like to come to see me? I'm in Ramsey, New Jersey. I'm about 40 minutes from you. She was in Manhattan. And I said, I am booked for 2 years ahead of time, but I am sure people will move around. They'll be able to be moved around because if I tell them that I want to see you, to talk to your dad, they'll be agreeable. So she said, yes. So we made an appointment. It was about a month later. And she eventually said she would like her mother and her two other sisters, Sky and Serena, to come to the reading. They flew in from Florida. I hope you're following this so far.
So far.
I told you it was a long story.
That's okay.
So they flew in from Florida. And as soon as I made the appointment before that, again, I'm saying, oh, my God, Wayne, what did you get me into? Wayne, your family's coming to see me. They're flying in from Florida. Now, I have been doing this for many years, over 20 years. So I know I'm doing this. I know I'm really connecting with those who have passed. But I never connected with Wayne Dyer, right? Anyway, so I started to go for walks with my dog for that whole month, every single day. The first day, right after the appointment, we made the appointment. I went for a walk with my dog and I said, you better come through, Wayne. You better come through. And that's when he started to come through. And he was so excited to talk about the afterlife. And he was so excited to talk about the we consciousness, which we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the interconnectivity of everyone and everything.
Yeah.
And he talked so much. So eventually on my daily walks, I would take my phone and I would just record what he was saying. That's what you asked me before. So I didn't miss anything.
Right.
And eventually the time came for my appointment with the Dyers. So I'm driving to the appointment, getting nervous again, and a car cuts me off. And on the license plate, it said Dyer 1.
Wow.
So I said, okay, Wayne, I guess you're coming through today. Thank you very much. So I came to my office, I meditated, and the Dyers came. And as soon as they came in, he proceeded to give each one of them very personal messages that only they would know. Certainly nothing from what he would talk about in his speeches or in his books, because he did share stories about his family. But things that were going on behind the scenes, that only they would know. So they truly knew it was their dad. And Serena even said, Karen, I'm going to say the word SH out of you. And she did. She started to promote me. And because they were personal messages, in this book, The We Consciousness, we just put what they wanted to share in the appendix, because truly those were all personal messages. So they did share some of the messages that he did come through with. I will share one of them when he was there, because she posted this on Facebook, and I know she's agreeable that I could share it with the world. She was sitting there, her belly is flat as a board, so I would never have guessed that she was pregnant. But her dad said that she was pregnant, and he was showing me the 4th of July. He's showing fireworks. And I said, your dad's saying you're pregnant. And she said, no, I'm not. I just had my daughter's. You just had my daughter last month. There's no way. Nope, I'm not pregnant. I said, okay. But your dad is showing me that you're pregnant, and he's showing me the fireworks. Anyway, she went home, took a pregnancy test, and she indeed was in the family way, and she was due on the 4th of July. So there were a number of events. You know, I could go on and on about within the next 2 years after that. You know, he was very forceful, telling me to connect with them, specific times, 6 o'clock in the morning sometimes, call this one, call that one. You know, he has 8 children and a wife, and I got to know them all very closely, and, you know, I could go on and on, but I'm not letting you talk.
No, that's fine.
I'll break for a couple of minutes so I could let you talk to me a little bit. I'm sorry.
Well, I also have to say, too, that you have had an extraordinary experience in that regard. And on one level, we all could have that kind of an experience. However, it's not up to us. Wayne chose you, okay, for example.
Well, No. I asked him, why did you choose me? And he said, no, why did you choose me?
Oh.
I said, okay. And then he just showed me a few signs. And by the way, he comes to many people. It's not just Karen Noe.
Okay.
We're all able to tap into his energy. We just have to set the intention and he will come to us. And we know we have to raise our vibration so it's more on par with his energy.
I stand corrected. But the point is that we have this ability innately within each one of us. It's whether or not we choose to cultivate it or not in order to be able to, as many many teach, we can connect with maybe those loved ones who have passed on. I can't even remember how old I was at the time. I think I was in my teen years at the time. And my grandmother, who passed away in our home in Phoenix the day after Thanksgiving, that particular year that she passed away. But when I was in my teen years, I had this dream. And there were symbols, if you will, within the dream that could not be because they just weren't possible. I was driving a white van on the freeway. Well, at that time, I didn't have a license. I couldn't drive. And so that part of it was very fictitious. And I turned off into this wooded area, this tall trees, and the sun was coming through and everything. And I drove out into this meadow. And here was this big stone house. And it had these arched windows on the front side, on the front of the house. And I walked through the door, and there was my grandmother, who had passed away years earlier. And not a word was spoken. I looked into her eyes. There was this sparkle, and she gave me a hug, and I sensed the phrase, "Everything's okay. I'm good, and everything's great." You know, that kind of thing.
Beautiful.
And that was it.
Yeah.
Now here's the strangest part of it, though. In 1996, I received a lens implant. Now this is in the real world.
Okay.
All right, March 6th. Of 96, 3696. I'm very much into patterns and all of that. And it increased my vision to where I was actually able to get a driver's license.
Right. Okay.
Shortly after that, I met my second wife. And during our time together, first few years together, my parents, who owned a Dodge Caravan, which happened to be white.
White. Oh, my goodness.
And they gave that to me they didn't give it to me. They sold it to me, and eventually I sold it to my sister, and it all went different directions. But I'm driving this white van around. I'm driving it on the freeways of Phoenix, even as they're being built. As a matter of fact, when we moved from Phoenix to Santa Barbara, we rented a white passenger van that we put two of our three dogs in and other things, and I followed my wife, who was driving our car with a trailer. And we're driving through L.A. traffic. And, of course, this is at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And I'm looking around at the cars around me, and it just dawned on me. Do you realize you are driving in L.A. traffic? So those were two parts of that dream that just, it's like, really? That's not going to happen. I settled with the universe at the age of 35. I said, you know what? I have worked like crazy to try to get even a minimal license, even to drive a moped. They won't let me. So, you know what? If I bicycle for the rest of my life and I'm 70 years old and I'm bicycling, that's okay. And I just let that go. And then a year later, boom. It was, you know, it was just an extraordinary experience. But as I was saying, we have this ability, this capacity within us. It's innate, but only if we cultivate it, can we then access it. You talk about 33 profound truths for inner and outer peace from the We Consciousness, the We Guides. And there are all kinds of different, shall we say, guide groups or even individual guides that are out there that are there for our support and assistance to help us through from day to day and even as you've put it down into print. And I'm curious, is this the first time that you've had this kind of, not just the profound experiences of with Wayne Dyer and his family, but with this kind of contact and this kind of communication, has it gone to this level before?
I've had many experiences. The very first, very profound one was about 25 years ago. I was going through a very difficult time in my life, and I sat at the edge of my bed and I just yelled at God, you know, am I going to be okay? And when I was saying that, I saw a light that started to come towards me from the other side of the room. And my first response was, if you're not of God, please leave, even though I just asked for a sign. Mm-hmm. But as I said that, it continued to come towards me and eventually enveloped me. And at that time, I heard an audible voice that said, Lucia Lucina, Bella Lucia Lucina, which for those Italian listeners, they'd know what this means. It means light, little light, beautiful little light. And I have since learned that was St. Francis of Assisi, who's been guiding and protecting me ever since. And for any of those who have read any of my books or follow me on Facebook, you'll see my St. Francis connection, you know, with the animals that I share or the peace connection. And there we are with the We Consciousness. It's all about peace. So that was my connectivity to the We Guides, because it already had St. Francis of Assisi talking about peace and all of that. And right after that connection with St. Francis, which, by the way, he wants to be called Francesco, not St. Francis. We called him that. I started receiving messages from those who've passed, as well as angels and ascended masters. At first, I was reluctant to do it. I didn't want to do it. I was very shy. But I eventually gave in, started doing healing in the back of a hair salon, and then word spread, because the messages came as I was doing the healings. And first I was booked a couple of months ahead of time, then a couple of years ahead of time. And as I told you before, now I just can't take any more clients because I'm booked so far ahead of time because word spread. But when the deceased loved ones come, when the angels come, when St. Francis comes, the We Guides come, they come through with messages that only they and we would know, so that we know without a doubt it's them. Mm-hmm. We need those signs. We need that to make sure it truly is them.
Yeah. Now, I've been to a number of, I like to call them intuitives. Mediums mm-hmm. is fine. I don't like using the word psychic only because of the energy charged in it that is very negative for a lot of people. It turns people off.
Right.
Same reason why I use the word transition rather than death and dying.
Yes.
Because those words have, they you know, it's like, I don't, no. It's kind of like, would you like to talk about life insurance? I sell life insurance. Nobody likes to talk about life insurance. It took me years to get life insurance because I said, wait a minute. If I was a betting man, I would want the other end of the equation that I'm going to live. But in essence, I'm buying life insurance because I'm going to die. Well, as my father has told me, and I quote him quite often, eat, drink, and be merry. in moderation, because nobody gets out of this world alive.
It's true.
Yeah, it is true. But it's I have found going to these people who have this greater capacity, I will put it, is not, will you please tell me because I don't know. It's not that. It's, would you please confirm for me what I think I already know?
Right.
And I'm seeing that more and more people are actually experiencing mediums and intuitives that way, rather than answer for me. You know, I don't know the answers to these questions. It's, I just need the support. I need the encouragement. And that's what the guides are there for too, right?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I encourage people, everyone can do this themselves. Mm-hmm. They just have to learn how to do it. It's not just Karen Noe. And I believe my purpose is to empower people to do it themselves rather than, I love giving them messages.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But even the Dyer family, I told them what, how to receive messages from him, how to look for signs, you know, tell him to come to you in a dream and to wake you up after the dream so that you'll remember it. Because he's coming directly to them. Our loved ones are coming directly to us. We don't need a medium or an intuitive to tell us that they're there. Exactly what you said, maybe just to confirm what we already know.
Yeah.
But indeed, they're coming directly to us.
Now, I realize that you weren't looking at, you know, writing a huge tome like War and Peace, but you've chosen 33 profound truths. Mm-hmm. Why only 33 as opposed to 22? Or of course, and again, I'm into a number, so it's the derivative, if you will, of 11. Mm-hmm. But why only 33?
Well, when I asked the Wii guys why they chose it, 33, they revealed that 33 symbolizes divine guidance and the spiritual uplifting of all of creation. That's what they told me. And by the way, I didn't mention that the Wii guides, how did the Wii guides come into effect? You know, Wayne was coming through singularly for about a year. And then that New Year's Eve, the first year after he was coming through, I was trying to stay up for midnight so I would be awake for New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. I was falling asleep about 8 p.m. So I said, all right, I'm going to take a nap. I was lying down to take a nap. And then Wayne came through to me directly, and he said, now is the time to do what you came on earth to do. And I immediately knew what that was. My whole life, I knew I was supposed to talk about peace on earth and how to achieve it all my life. My kids used to say when they were little, you know, they used to, the friends would say, Mrs. Noe's peace mobile, because I'd have all the peace stickers, talk about peace, all of that. But I knew right away. As soon as I said it's to talk about peace on earth, he said, absolutely. And he said he was going to come together with a group of guides called the Wii Guides, which includes St. Francis of Assisi, Ascended Masters, angels, as well as himself. And it would be hard to differentiate him from everyone else because it would be a group consciousness. Mm. And they would be giving me 33 concepts. And he told me why 33, as I just told you. And I was supposed to write a book. But the book was not going to be all directed from Wayne Dyer himself. It was going to be from the knowledge that I had already known my whole life, but they were going to help me. And then I said, but surely I know people want to hear from you, Wayne. You know, surely you'll give me something. And he said, okay, we'll do a chapter. You ask me questions and I'll answer. Mm, so that's where it all came about.
I have to say, there's a line from a song from one of my favorite artists. He's talking about his life and how old he is and so forth. And the line basically is, and 33 was the year that sweet Jesus was set free. And these things just come to mind. I don't know why sometimes.
True. That's true.
But there's something about these numbers. As a matter of fact, when I was 33, and you know what? It hadn't even dawned on me. I was on a camping trip with some buddies. I had this little short, very small little men's group. It was three of us, believe it or not. And we were on a camping trip, and I, with one of the other guys, had a rather profound experience where I stood up for myself to this gentleman. And thinking back on it, and this had to do also with our primer, which was Robert Bly's Iron John. I was able to say, and this was at the age of 33, I mean, in 1993, where I said, and I remember saying this to my parents at a dinner once, that, yeah, that's, you know, that was one of those moments where I can say, yeah, that was my transition. And that was when I became a man. Mm. And I still remember my mother's response. Well, it's about time. But she's always been good-natured about everything. But there's something about these kinds of numbers as well. But in terms of these profound truths, can we talk a little bit about what, in the context of the book, because I know that if I was to say, would you share with me the most profound truth that you've ever experienced or maybe pen to paper or have been told through these experiences throughout your life? Let's keep it in the context of the book. What would you say would be, would it be the first one?
It would be the first one, yes. The first one is the our oneness encompasses everything and everyone, including God, the angels, ascended masters, enlightened beings from other areas in the universe, deceased loved ones, animals, and nature, and we're all one. It's hard to say, hard to acknowledge that when you're in a physical body, because it seems that you're over there and I'm over here. But when you leave your physical body, you're able to feel that interconnectivity better because we're not separated by a body.
Right. Well, one of the things that has rather been profound for me in that context, I get people that I talk with on a regular basis, and not just the folks on the program here, such as yourself, but just people day to day. And someone came to me once, and they were just very frustrated about their job. They worked in the medical field. They dealt with patients and so forth. And just, you know, they were just kind of really frustrated over the whole thing and didn't think they were making a difference. And I said, actually, you don't seem to understand how big a difference you do make. Now, she is really good with the patients. That has her, she is patient focused. All right. You can throw away all the paperwork and the HIPAA laws and the this and the that. She is concerned with the patients, and they remember her. They acknowledge her. They even bring her things over the years at the different places she's worked. And she was sharing with me, so I just don't think I'm really making much of a difference. And I said, okay, you need to look at it from a different perspective. When a grumpy old man comes in, and let's say he's still working, CEO of a company maybe. He's got a meeting later today, but he's got to come to this clinic to get a checkup and have his heart checked and this and that and the other. And you present yourself in such a way that shifts his energy. He may have been thinking, I'm going into that meeting and I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And after you have impacted his life with your energy and your demeanor, he's now going to shift to a different tack for that meeting that is going to impact the people at that meeting and the people who work for him in a totally different way than before he came to the clinic, which is then going to change the lives of 10, 100,
that's right,
1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a bigger, as a matter of fact, she has, when she worked for a very notable medical facility, she actually had interaction with high-ranking political officials all the way up to and including presidents.
Wow.
Now, you want to talk about...
How could she say she's not making a difference, right? Well, she doesn't understand it.
No.
She feels she's insignificant.
Exactly. Exactly. And right. And she hasn't been getting a lot of support, she at least up until we met, from the people around her. And that's what happens, I think, to a lot of us, is that we don't get the kind of support and encouragement. I mean, I get very frustrated when I hear, because I grew up with bullying in school, and... I hear what frustrates me is the when people say, well, yeah, I know, but you know, that helps to build character. I said, there are other ways of building character than being pushed around by another human being.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's not the kind of difference that you want. That's not the kind of ripple effect that you really want to have in life, is pushing other people around. There are other ways of doing that, and we can be more productive and cooperative and working together in a cohesive community. But I think that, a matter of fact, the very simple thought was, when you shared that number one truth, driving. And if you can avoid getting hit or hitting someone and so forth, great, you're gonna flow through the day. But the moment you have an incident like that, it slows everything down, and it impacts and has that ripple effect in a matter of way, in a negative way. I mean, it changes the paths of people's lives for a while until they've, you know, it's one of those things you hear this joke on television programs. And, no, I don't want to kill that guy. He's in a police drama. No, the paperwork is just ridiculous, you know. Not the loss of life, but the paperwork.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But that's with an accident, with a car accident, and I've been in one or two of them. Neither of them were my fault, but nonetheless, my life was turned upside down for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. Rental cars and insurance and blah, blah, blah. And when we start looking at our movement through life, just day to day, moment to moment, how is what I'm about to do going to impact me and subsequently the people around me? I mean, I deal with, 5-10 people a day here at the radio station who come in here, and I try to have a good demeanor, but, you know, some days, you know, I've been dealing with stuff. And so, it kind of comes out, but they kind of understand, and we all get back on track. So I think that's, but I know a lot of people get frustrated over hearing this, that phrase, oh, we're all one, we're all connected, and da-da-da-da-da. And they haven't had an example yet in their own lives, or at least it hasn't shown up to them, but they're not awake and aware enough. Go ahead.
The best way to really feel that oneness is through meditation. But this is an example. After we pass, we go through a life review where we're able to see and feel how we have affected each person through their eyes. Because we are all one, we could actually be that other person. Okay, so with that said and done, many people come through in readings saying they should have, could have, would have, or they see how much they affected the other person in a positive way, or they should have asked for forgiveness, or should have forgiven the other person. They should have treated themselves with the respect that they deserve, which, by the way, we are just as important as everyone else. So I tell people, don't wait until it's too late to see through the other person's eyes. Try to do it now, in this life, and in every encounter that you have, try to see through the other person's eyes why they're doing what they're doing. Instead of getting angry, try to see why. And with that knowledge, you'll create peace in your life and in the lives around you. It really does work.
Have you ever watched movies or television programs? I have to say, my favorite that showed this example to me was that one came out, the comic book heroes, Batman versus Superman.
No, I didn't see that one.
Well, spoiler alert.
Okay.
For anybody who's listening. At nearly 3/4 to 4/5 of the way through the film, the two of them have a dialogue. They stop fighting each other long enough to converse over why they've been fighting throughout the rest of the first part of the movie. And as soon as they understand each other and where the other is coming from, they stop fighting each other and they go after the real villain.
Yes.
And
exactly.
Yeah.
That's the way it is in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I sit here going, all right, I understand that if they had put this part at the beginning, the movie would have been 5 minutes. Okay. So there's no drama.
Right.
But in our own lives, if we would just stop, as you said, and talk to understand where the other person is coming from. I don't see that happening in our political arena. Mm-hmm. I don't see that happening in our other institutions. When we have these dust-ups, if you will, between countries, between different ethnic groups. I have to say that I share this with you. One of my guests who wrote a book called Love and Fear in the Middle East. And he travels there quite often, holding interfaith gatherings between the various groups, the ethnic groups, religious groups. And what he's finding, especially in the Middle East and Israel and in the Palestinian areas, the young people, this is basically what they are saying, and I paraphrase, to their parents. Mom, Dad, you know that little squabble, that Hatfields and McCoys thing you got going on with the guys on the other side of the gals on the other side of the wall? That's your fight, not mine. I want no part of it. And I'm thinking, wow, they're walking away from the wall that their parents have been pushing against and resisting and, you know, fighting to try to break through for generations. And they're saying today, we want no part of it. It's not our fight.
No, it's not our fight. And if they could talk to each other, different nations, you know, political, even Democrat, Republican, whoever, they talk to each other. You could see where the other person's coming from. Try to understand them. And by the way, it doesn't matter whoever is in charge of a state, of a country, doesn't matter.
Right.
Because people have the power. We really do. We must raise the consciousness of our planet to be on a higher plane, more of peace and love.
I remember when Al Gore was running in 2000 and I was watching one of his speeches on TV and he was talking about what great things we will do together as a people, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, oh, right on, right on. Let's do this thing. And then he broke into the next part of his speech. And now, I paraphrase, and now let me tell you what the government's going to do for you. And I turned it off and I said, bye-bye.
Yep.
You freed us and then you put the chains back on.
Right.
You're right. We are the ones who have always, whether it's religious institutions, educational institutions, political institutions, we have always had the power, but we've been told we don't. And this kind of goes back to my example of the woman working in the clinic. She has been exerting the power, but not consciously and not aware that she's doing it and changing the lives of the people that she comes in contact with. And we do the same thing, right?
We absolutely do.
Yeah. It's something that you're helping people to wake up to. I know. There's a section in the book about self-love.
Yes, which is probably the most important. We can't give love to anyone else if we don't love ourselves first.
But a lot of people will misconstrue that. I can't love myself. I can't focus on me. I've got to focus on everybody else. I've got to be selfless. Can you help that person?
You can't give to anyone else what you don't have within yourself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to be yourself and honor your own truth over society's demands. And I know that's difficult. But in order to do that, you have to be you. When you do that, you come with what you came here on earth to do. Right? Mm-hmm. And when you are love and you exude love, you're going to attract love in your life. Because you're a magnet that attracts like unto itself. So if you're all a very peaceful person, you're going to create peace and love around you. Mm. So it's extremely important to begin within yourself. So if you want to do it because you want to help other people, then begin by yourself, with yourself first.
Yeah. I find it interesting, speaking of the religious institutions, and of course I worked for 15 years for a Christian radio station back in Phoenix in the 80s and 90s, and of course I always hear these messages about how without the sacrifice, we'd be nothing. We're just lowly worms, you know, squirming through the dirt, you know, kind of thing. And I began to process that in my mind, and I thought, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. You know, you talk about how precious this sacrifice was. All right. And this, you know, and so if the sacrifice was that precious, then how much more precious are we that that God, in whatever construct you choose, would sacrifice his own son? If we had no value, what does he care? We have no value. We must have had incalculable value for that sacrifice.
And it's not about the sacrifice. It was about the miracles and the love and the peace that we're talking about Jesus, what he proclaimed, and he also said this and more you can do if only you believed. So he never said he was the only one that could do that. So we have to focus on what he really talked about, which was peace and love and miracles.
Talk to us about the benefits of self-love.
Sure. So, well, number one, you'll make your own happiness a priority, and you won't be swayed by external conditions, no matter what is happening outside of yourself. it won't affect you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You'll look out for your own best interests. Okay? Your confidence will increase. You'll attract loving situations and people in your life. Your mind, body, and spirit will be healed. When you love yourself, your whole body responds to that. Because you're not just a physical being. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. So when you, if you plug into the energy of who you really are, which is only love and peace, your body will respond with a loving and peaceful body as well, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I talk about our evolution as a species. And part of me thinks we haven't evolved very far. We're just barely stepping across the threshold of the cave, as some people put it. But I'm curious as to our evolution. I asked one of my guests this question. Is our evolution going to take us to a level where we will finally understand who we are? And they said no.
He said no?
He said no, but he worded it differently. He said okay. It will take us to the place where we will understand who we have always been.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. Like that. Which is God within.
Yeah.
Source energy. Yeah. That is good.
Folks, if you are just joining us, first of all, you're late. second of all, you can always go back and listen to this on the podcast at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, SoundCloud, iTunes. Karen Noe is my guest, and the website is Karen Noe, KarenNoe.com. You can find out more about We Consciousness, 13 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
Tell me your story.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are talking with Karen Noe. She is a medium. She is an author. She is a radio host. Love to talk to you more about that as well. KarenNoe.com, KarenNoe.com. We're talking about We Consciousness, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace. And this is with the We Guides that you've been communicating with for how long?
It's been about 2.5 years now.
Short period of time, and yet...
I think I know that I've been communicating with most of them my whole life.
Karen, I want to thank you so much for sharing so much time with us. And if you should find yourself out here on the West Coast in California and on the Central Coast, we'd love to have you in studio to have a greater, longer face-to-face conversation, because I always love having people in studio to talk with.
Right. I'd love that. Thank you very much.
I have three other questions I'd like to ask you before I let you go.
Sure.
And then, again, I encourage people to go to your website, KarenNoe.com. We'll be linked to it as well. And again, the book is entitled We Consciousness. So check it out, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace. First question is, who is Karen Noe?
Oh, wow. Nobody ever asked me. I'm just a part of, God is within me, and I'm part of the whole. I know that's not saying much, but I'm trying to spread the love that I am. Well, who's Karen Noe? Love.
Okay.
How's that?
Second question is that, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
It's like Gandhi said, I want to change. I want to be the change I want to see in the world. And when I raise my own consciousness, I will raise the consciousness of the planet. And it takes each individual to do that.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
The same thing. I think I'm here to empower people to do what I'm already doing, to connect with their loved ones, to raise their vibration, to create peace on earth. But it's not that I'm the only one that can do this. Again, I'm here to empower everyone to understand that they can do it too.
Karen Noe, once again, thank you so much for being on the program, sharing your time and your book, We Consciousness. And we encourage people to check out all the other books that you've put together. And, you know, maybe we should have you come back and we can talk about the afterlife, whether it's your conversations with Wayne or the books that you've written about it. And I'd love to carry on that conversation as well.
I would absolutely love that. Thank you.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.